Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Hey guys, Chris here, and welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. As always, and for the last 45 podcasts, my name is Chris, and I will be talking to you about some games. So yeah, this episode is kind of like a bit of a continuation from my last podcast. I know last time I was talking about expos and potentially going digital and my thoughts on it. But this I'm kind of looking at companies that already do digital showcases or events. I think like in lines of Nintendo Directs, Sony State of Plays, stuff like that. I'll talk through some of them and how I think they do well or not so well. And yeah, so I'll give my thoughts on companies that do their own online or digital events already. First up, we're going to start with the news. Okay guys, so we have had a busy couple of weeks for news. Quite a bit come up. Literally, I'm recording this show quite late. I normally do it a couple of days ahead of when it gets released, but I'm literally doing it at 20 to 11 on Friday night, and the show is out tomorrow. So Matt, God bless him, is going to have to do a bit of editing tomorrow. I think he's off tomorrow, so luckily, so he can do it in the morning. Yeah, he's going to have to work furiously to get this out in time tomorrow. So yeah, but obviously doing it this late has allowed me to watch the Pokemon Presents presentation. Obviously this year marks the 25th anniversary of the Pokemon game series. And February the 27th is the anniversary when the first game came out in Japan. So yeah, the Pokemon company did have their Pokemon Presents. I was expecting quite a few things to come up in here. It's obviously where it was Pokemon Presents and not necessarily Pokemon Direct. We're thinking it might have been more stuff shown off than actually was. Thought we might have seen some more Pokemon Unite, because obviously that is Tencent, not Pokemon Company or Game Freak developing it. So there was no Pokemon Unite, which so I'm a little bit surprised about, but also not really that surprised. I think they did have quite a bit of backlash because people were expecting a different kind of game to be announced in the presentation they showed it off in last year. I think a lot of people hyped themselves up and thought it was going to be like a new Let's Go game or a new remake, but it ended up being Pokemon Unite. Yeah, so no Pokemon Unite today, but we did have more info on new Pokemon Snap, which is due out on the 30th of April. So showed off some more footage, some more of the gameplay mechanics, and yeah, like the scoring system and things like that. It looks really cool. Like I said, I didn't play the original Pokemon Snap, but I am really keen to give this one a go. The original is pretty beloved, and it'd be interesting to see how that gameplay mechanic translates to current day, whether it's still has that wow factor pull that the original had, or whether it's just purely nostalgia for those who played it back on the N64 many years ago. So I showed off Pokemon, new Pokemon Snap. They did also start off the presentation by looking right back through the history of the Pokemon series, like going through each generation of the games and like the anime series and like the little big like technology bits that came along with it, and like trading card games and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, they did have quite a good look into the history of the Pokemon and how it has got into most corners of society and entertainment. Like, you got trading cards, you got anime, you got films, you got all sorts. So it's kind of like nice seeing that. And then they did bring out the two new announcements. First up is a remake of Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl. Had been heavily rumoured that they were going to be the next games. Obviously, they're next in line to get the remake treatment. But there was a lot of debate whether it could be a new Let's Go game. So there could be a Let's Go game set in the Johto region. But no, they have gone for Diamond and Pearl remakes, which are going to be Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. They are both set for release late this year. So it'll obviously be the November release, I'd imagine. It's a more faithful remake than people perhaps like. It does look very much like a reskinned version of the DS game. They are being quite faithful to the gameplay style. So it's not going to be a Pokemon Sword and Shield style take of the game. But it looks interesting, looks cool. Be a good way to get into these games. It is also a interesting to see that Game Freak aren't actually developing this. It is the people behind Pokemon Home who are developing this. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on with that. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty old school Pokemon. So it's got the kind of almost top-down view. I think going from Pokemon to Sword and Shield, it does look a bit more basic. The animation seemed a bit more basic, and the art style almost seemed a little bit like chibi, to use the kind of expression that people use for that art style. Yeah, so it did look like, again, it's a very different art style to Sword and Shield. But as long as it plays well and it is a fun game, it shouldn't be an issue. And then Game Freak's new project was announced, and it is another game set in the Sinnoh region, but it's set centuries before the events of Diamond and Pearl, so it's set a few hundred years at least before those events. So it's in the Sinnoh region, but it's a very different region, so like the environments are different and stuff like that, and it did look pretty interesting. It looked like a much more open world game. Much more open world. Almost like the wild areas of Pokemon Sword and Shield. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to see how that plays and how it gets on. But this is what Game Freak is working on, and it is due for release early 2022. So, yeah, it could be like a spring game next year. They're pretty cool. Interesting mechanics where you could just literally throw Pokemon or Pokeballs at Pokemon in the wild and then potentially catch them. So that's interesting. And the battles, that's interesting in terms of their layout on the screen. They didn't really show it in the main trailer, but in the gameplay or like the further information bit, they showed more kind of proper battle footage. Yeah, they're pretty cool and pretty interesting. It's Pokemon Legends Arceus is the name of the game, and yeah, it's a chance to go back to the Sinnoh region and explore a different Sinnoh region to what you're used to playing in. And it is due in early 2022. And sticking with Nintendo, the week before the Pokemon Presents, so last week, they did have an actual full-on Nintendo Direct. A lot of people were thinking that something would come from Nintendo, just like looking at some of the stuff, because a lot of things were starting to be leaked, like in terms of different projects that have been rated and stuff like that. They have had their Direct, and they have announced a fair few new games, and a fair few things have got dated. So, they started off with a pretty cool trailer, which did confuse a few people. Some people, including myself, did have a hazard a guess of what the trailer was for as soon as it started, but it did catch quite a few people off guard as well. And it was a trailer for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which revealed that Pyra and Mythra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 would be the new fighter in the Fighters Pass. I know when Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was still coming out, a lot of people were hoping that Rex and Pyro, Rex being the main protagonist and Pyro being the spirit, almost like the spirit of his blade kind of thing. She was known as his blade in the game. Yeah, a lot of people were hoping that they'd make it in to the roster, but then Sakurai announced that because of when the game was announced, it was too late, and the characters were shown off, it was too late for him to be included in the roster for the game. I imagine they probably had decided on the DLC Fighters Pass characters for Fighters Pass 1. But now it's got to Fighters Pass 2. I think they are looking at more characters that could have been what they wanted to include in the base game. No Rex, he's still remaining as a Mii costume, but Pyra and Mithra are going to be joining the battle. And literally earlier this week, they did announce that the Mr. Sakurai Presents, which is the showcase where Sakurai shows off the new character in detail. So that is happening on the 4th of March, so that's pretty soon. And normally the character comes out within a week, maybe 2 weeks from that presentation. So they have been announced for a March release, but it could literally be within 2 weeks. So that's exciting. It'd be interesting to see if they do a mechanic like they did with Sephiroth. With Sephiroth, they did, if you had the Fighter Pass, after they did the presentation, they had an update and you had a new mode. And if you defeat Sephiroth in the mode, you actually unlocked him early. And you could use him before the official release date. So yeah, that is something interesting to see if they do take that mechanic again, or whether they leave it purely for just for Sephiroth, or whether they do something different. That'd be interesting to see. But yeah, Pyro and Mithra announced for Super Smash Bros. In the Direct. Some brand new games were announced. Obviously, Mario Golf being one that pleased a lot of people. A new Mario Sports title. That is coming out towards the end of June. Looks great. There's a new speed golf mode, which is pretty much a free-for-all. So you hit your ball all at the same time. Then you have to run to your ball, and then first person to get the pole kind of wins that hole, and then it's racing on to the next one. So yeah, it's pretty cool. There was no mention of, well, no new details on Breath of the Wild 2. Aonuma, the director of the Zelda series, was there, and he did say, unfortunately, there was nothing they could share at this time. Although more information is coming this year. Where it's a case of they wait until June, they announce it, they'll show it off in June, it comes out in November. It is completely possible still. But they have not committed to a year or release window for the game yet. Is literally just they'll be showing off more information this year, or they're planning to show off more information this year. So it's still about up in the air when Breath of the Wild 2 is going to come out and whether it will stick to 2022 or not. They did, however, show off Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. They're making a HD version of it. They've got some awesome Joy-Cons coming with it, which are really cool. No Breath of the Wild 2, but we got Skyward Sword information instead. It's really cool to have that, to how to incorporate button controls to the game. So obviously, where it came out on the Wii, it was purely motion controlled, which a lot of people were hesitant about with it coming to Switch. They have found a way to do it which requires tilting the right stick for the direction of the sword, so just clever way around it, but be interesting to see how well it plays. So it's pretty good stuff. No More Heroes 3 got announced for an August release date, so it's a bit later than some people were hoping for, because it was originally a 2020 game and it slipped into 2021. So that is coming out in August. And the One More Thing is a game that's quite surprising to see as a One More Thing. Kind of shows how big the series has got over the years, and that is Splatoon 3 got announced. literally about 5-6 years ago. Splatoon wasn't really a thing. Got announced in 2014, I think, at E3. Everyone thought, oh, it looks interesting, it's a bit weird. But it has taken off, and it's literally crossed about 10 million copies. No, yeah, it's about 10 million copies it's sold thereabouts. It's done really well in Japan. Like, for the first couple of years it was out, it never really left the top 10 in Japan. It has been a pretty solid seller for them over there. So yeah, Splatoon 3 is coming next year. And it was quite surprising and kind of refreshing in a way to see that Splatoon has made it up to the level of the One More Thing announcement. Like, and a lot of the reactors are really, we're really excited to see it. So, Splatoon definitely has a following, and people are excited to see more Splatoon stuff. Especially if the developers do kind of take fan feedback on board without kind of really telling you what's going on. Like, for example, in the first game, the final Splatfest was which did you prefer out of Callie and Marie? So you had to choose your favourite in the Splatfest, and whoever lost, basically in Splatoon 2, came almost like the villain in the story mode. So that's pretty cool. And the last Splatfest was Chaos versus Order, and a Chaos Run, I believe. And the trailer for Splatoon 3 did paint a kind of post-apocalyptic kind of world. So yeah, it looks like Chaos has been causing chaos. So it'd be cool to see what they do with the world. And there's lots of little changes to the gameplay that seems to be coming in. Like, when you first start your levels, you don't start on the disc. You kind of start in a little box, and you kind of aim where you want to go on the level. And then you kind of start inking, pretty much. So really cool concept and quite interesting. So we'll just see how that plays out. And also, some of the stages look quite compact, so it looks a bit more intense, a lot more kind of, be more action-y, so yeah, looking forward to seeing more on that. But obviously, it is due out next year. So yeah, a little while to wait, but hopefully it will be pretty good. Next up, we're going to go across to Sony. Sony had a state of play yesterday. I did try to do a reaction to it, but didn't really work out. But it was, in general, a bit of a disappointment. They didn't really show much new stuff off. Yeah, I've been looking online, and everyone just seems a bit underwhelmed by what they showed off, which, fair enough, Nintendo did have some flack, because a lot of people were expecting more from Nintendo. A lot of people wanted to see Breath of the Wild, wanted to see more of what their potential holiday games could be. A lot of people didn't like the fact there was no Pokemon news. Well, obviously, with Pokemon Day literally a week afterwards, a lot of people weren't expecting much in the way of Pokemon stuff, so it wasn't really surprising no Pokemon in the Direct. But it's interesting that a lot of people just weren't very happy with Sony's showing. Like, a lot of people were hoping to see more in-depth stuff from Ratchet & Clank or God of War or Horizon's Forbidden West, but none of those games were really shown off. A lot of the games that shown off were things that we have seen before. I think they opened up with Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, because obviously it's coming to PlayStation 5 in March, so I think a lot of people they're just showing off like the graphical upgrades and stuff like that, which kind of didn't excite a lot of people. They spent quite a bit of time on Deathloop and Returnal, which is stuff that you have seen a lot on again already. They both seem to be similar premises as well, which I think, I don't know if it dilutes the two games, and having them both in the same presentation does kind of potentially take away from them a bit. It has some good looking stuff, like Kimmy the Bridge of Spirits looks really cool. That was one of the highlights from the PlayStation 5 showcase event last year. So yeah, that was really cool to see more of that. But again, that is launching later than people are expecting. It is set for a August release. A lot of people were kind of thinking it could be a spring release. So yeah, that's coming a lot later than people were kind of thinking it would be. And they did end off with the PlayStation 5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is Final Fantasy VII in, Remake Integrate, I think. It does look pretty cool. There's some cool graphics. Now they're doing story DLC, which introduces Yuffie into the story, or Yuffie into the story. Yeah, there's a new character in the mix. So yeah, they are adding new stuff into it. Whether you can get this stuff on the PS4, I'm not sure. But it is due out in June. But again, it's a game that people have seen before. So I think people were perhaps hoping for a bit more. And that did come on the heels of the announcement that Gran Turismo has been delayed till next year. Yeah, because obviously originally it was spring 2021, then it was 2021, and now it's just, yeah, no, it's not coming this year, it's coming next year. But given it's Polyphony Digital, that isn't really a surprise. They always do tend to have delayed releases for their Gran Turismo games at the moment, because I think they are quite regarded as being perfectionists and taking a while to get things right in their eyes. That is a bit about the Sony State of Play. There's a lot of news this week, and we've got one more headline to go. This time we're moving over to EA. BioWare had announced they were looking at improving Anthem, and they had a timeline for what they called Anthem Next, which is basically a complete, almost reboot of the game. So they're going to retool some stuff. It's quite an ambitious kind of improvement plan for the game. But EA did do a review of the progress and the work and the budget and stuff like that. And EA have actually decided to pull the plug on it. So they're pulling the plug on Anthem. They're still going to keep the servers going and things like that, but they're not going to do any more active development on it, and they're not going to continue with the Anthem Next plan, so they're not going to do the development for the new parts or improvements. So, yeah, it's another awkward situation for BioWare. I think the development for Anthem always seems to have been quite troubled. There was a lot of stories about things going on in the background. It is kind of a bit of a shame that they didn't really manage to pull it off. The thing I don't like about live service games in particular is they do tend to have a lot of games that come out in a almost broken state, and they kind of fix it as they go, which is the aspect of live service games I really don't like. If you're going to release a game, make sure it works, is my thoughts on that, really. So there's no more Anthem Next. It is going to be staying as it is. There's no more active development on updates or anything. So unfortunately, it is going to be keeping as it is. But anyway, that wraps up my news. I am going to move on to looking at my main subject for today. Okay, my main subject today is probably going to not be a massive subject again. Probably not that much to talk about on it. But last episode, I was talking about how E3 and so the other game, and like Summer Games Fest, and how they're doing online and digital events, pretty much. There's been no confirmation whether E3 is actually going to go ahead with their digital E3. It was just a proposal I had, so I'm not sure exactly when they're going to vote for it or approve it or deny it, or kind of can't or put out of it. I'm going to talk more about companies that already do a lot of digital events or showcases, and like how I think they do with them and how well they do them. I'm not going to talk about every single company, because there are quite a few companies that do it, and there's many that I don't watch or haven't watched, so I can't really comment on them. But I'm going to start off with some big ones. Microsoft, I think Microsoft, I don't know why, they just don't always get the kind of right feel to them. They have been trying to do live shows with like hosts and like people talking about games and like live segments. They do go on quite a while sometimes, like a good hour, about 2 hours sometimes. And I think because it's like live interviews and kind of like you have proper hosts, I think it does take away and there's not enough game content sometimes. So it's just the hosts trying to get some talking from the developers and stuff like that. It can be quite interesting, but I don't think I ever managed it for a whole Xbox present, like Xbox Live kind of broadcast. I neither I wanted to really. They don't really show much that appeal. That even though I've got an Xbox Series X, in terms of presentations, apart aside from the E3 ones, where they do normally have quite a lot of big reveals, they are kind of a bit flat sometimes. Xbox do try, bless them. And the E3 ones are normally pretty decent, but any other kind of presentations from Microsoft are kind of a bit hit and miss and not always great. Likewise with Sony, the State of Play, like there have been some State of Plays have been really good. They've had a good mix of games, they've had good pacing, and they've had a good order of what they've been showing off the games. I still remember the first one, it was a bit all over the place. There was like no massive announcements, but they kind of got the pacing a bit wrong and the layout a bit wrong. And like, I think they ended up on, they ended with Mortal Kombat 11, which a lot of people had already seen, and there wasn't really much new there. And yeah, it's been weird. Sometimes they've had really good presentations and other times they've really not had much. And like, obviously the one this week, the general consensus is people are disappointed. I've seen reactors online say it was a below average one. Literally two games potentially saved it from being awful, which is the Final Fantasy VII remake stuff and Kimera Bridge of Spirits. Sony, I think, are finding their feet in their State of Plays, but I think it's still got a long way to go. I think it is almost a similar situation to Nintendo, where they've got such a wide range of stuff, and they have got big games. Like they've already announced some big games, like God of War, which is supposed to come out in 2021. Horizon Forbidden West, Ratchet and Clank, even though they have shown off a decent amount of Ratchet and Clank, I think people wouldn't be glad to see more of it. Maybe some more of the worlds. It is a bit of a bit hit and miss with what they show off. And a lot of people were just, like I say, disappointed with the showcase this week. I think Sony still need to work on their balance. And their PlayStation 5 showcase last year, if anyone's seen my reaction to it, I got seriously bored about halfway through. Like, they went on a string of, like, I don't want to talk badly or talk down on indie games, but it's pretty generic indie games. There's nothing that really impressed me or kind of wowed me in that middle section. And between each game, they had a good 5-10 seconds where it's just like the logos come up again and again and again. I'd rather it was a bit more fast-paced. It could have easily been 15 minutes shorter if they'd kind of been more clever with their editing and their pacing. I think Sony do all right, but they do have stuff to learn still with their states of plays. Next up, I'm going to talk about Nintendo. Nintendo are interesting. Like, I have said to other people, like, I think Nintendo have mastered, in a way, like, the mic drop moment, so things you won't expect. Perfect example of that is the Nintendo Switch presentation at the beginning of 2017, when the Switch was due out in March. They did their big presentation in January, where they went in depth on the console, like, did the launch date, the price, like, showed off a load of the games. And even though everyone knew it was coming, they had a new trailer for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and it's one of the most epic trailers and one of the most sensational trailers I've seen. I don't know what it is, it's just like the way the trailer built, the way the music built. It showed story aspects, it showed action, it showed a load of stuff in the trailer, and like, literally, the way they ended it with the release date being the launch date of the Switch, it just drove people crazy. It's probably pretty much a mic drop moment, and, like, Nintendo Direct, when they announced Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and they had the, like, just done the whole bit about the Splatoon 2 expansion pass, the October expansion, and then they kind of launched into another trailer, everyone assumed it's Splatoon, and then it turned into a Smash Brothers trailer. They announced it's coming that year. It's pretty awesome. They had, like, the Animal Crossing double reveal, where it's a reveal of Isabelle in Smash Brothers and actual Animal Crossing coming to the Nintendo Switch. Yeah, and then they also had the E3 2019, where they had the Banjo reveal trailer, which caught a lot of people off guard. They just had, like, a general video montage of games from third parties and, like, smaller games on games that are due soon. Like, I think it ended up with Super Mario Maker 2. And then it went straight into this Smash trailer. You already had one trailer, so people assumed that was a trailer we were getting for E3. Yeah, they launched straight into the Smash trailer, and then it turned out to be Banjo-Kazooie. Which drove people crazy, and then they had, like, Takahashi saying, like, yeah, we've got plenty more games coming. Oh, by the way, here's one more thing for you. And then it is the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild announcement trailer, and, like, it did send people crazy. Like, I've seen people cry, I've seen so many people lose their mind over that kind of trailer. So, yeah, for me, Nintendo, even though their directs aren't perfect every time, they do kind of have that mic drop moment. Yeah, the last most recent direct wasn't my favourite, though I think they have done better ones. But they have also done worse ones. And I know for a lot of people, Splatoon 3 maybe isn't the big kind of, wow, I've got to play this game, but I was quite excited about it. I was like, oh, wow, they're actually doing another Splatoon game. A lot of people were expecting Splatoon to be a once-a-generation kind of game. So, like, the next Splatoon game would come with the next console, like, fairly early into the console's life, build up a fan base. But no, Splatoon 3 is coming to the Switch. And, yeah, it did. A lot of people were surprised. A lot of people were really happy to see it. Yeah, so it was, in some ways, a bit of a mic drop announcement. A lot of people said, oh, wow, didn't see that coming, really excited to see it coming. Yes, that is all good. A lot of the third parties are trying to get into the like, streaming or video, like, digital event thing, so obviously, Ubisoft last year did a couple. They kind of went okay. At E3, Ubisoft are also quite hit and miss. They sometimes have really brilliant shows, and then they have other shows which are not so good, to put it bluntly. So, yeah, it is interesting to see. Interesting to see how the different companies handled it. Like, the end of last year, they did show off more Watch Dogs stuff. They announced Phoenix Rising, one of them as well. Or, like, they rebranded, like, they relaunched God of Monsters. Yeah, so Ubisoft do have a good stab at it, and sometimes they do it really well. Like, the one where they showed off Mario & Rabbids, Bowser's Fury, and Beyond Good and Evil 2, that was really awesome E3. But at the same time, they have got issues where they don't necessarily know what they're doing with the... they don't always know what they're doing with the games, or sometimes announcing the games too early, because Beyond Good and Evil 2, you haven't really seen much of since. They didn't even commit to certain consoles or anything. So yeah, Ubisoft, I think, can have good presentations, but I do think they need to work harder on them. Bethesda is a whole different ballgame. Some of their E3 events were pretty interesting, to say the least, and there were reports of the audience being made up of people who work for Bethesda. Yes, that is an interesting situation. In terms of the Dumb War Online stuff recently, Square Enix have tried to do a few things as well. But a lot of them are tending to be like around E3 and stuff like that. Yeah, I think the main one who's leading the way with the online presentations and does seem to do best or better is Nintendo. And then we do have pretty cool showcases, and they do get a lot of stuff in. Like, they were the company with the first look at Knockdown City, the new EA dodgeball style game. Okay, the state of play this week did have a bit more in-depth footage and more explanation of how the game works, but Nintendo had the first trailer for it, the first announcement as such. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to see different companies' approaches on them. I think if companies are going to find a model, they should probably look at Nintendo's model. I know they didn't have a direct at all last year. They did do a lot of minis and game-specific or series-specific directs, and they did move to the partner showcases. Partner showcases were really hit and miss last year for Nintendo. They were so much really good, and the first couple were pretty naff, to be honest, so there wasn't much. A lot of people just went to them with no expectations. It's probably the best way to not be disappointed, really. I think it's a bit of a short topic again today. I think Microsoft and Sony do have their moments. Like, Microsoft's pretty good at E3 stuff, and they do pretty well with their game showcases there. But I think where they do, like, they used to do like monthly shows, and they just weren't good. They didn't really focus too much on games. It just didn't really go down very well. The states of play have been really hit and miss. There's been a couple of really good ones, and others which are just, not good. So again, it's a case of Sony looking at their pacing and what they're actually showing off, and almost making sure they've got enough new content to show, whereas the big complaint I've been hearing about the one this week is there's not enough new stuff. It's stuff that people had already seen before. Nothing to get people excited, really. That's the one thing about Nintendo Directs. You're almost always guaranteed new content. Like, Nintendo always got stuff they're working on and showing off. They haven't really shown off their main holiday games this year. Okay, they've got the Diamond and Pearl remakes coming through the Pokemon Company, but at the same time, they normally do have their own thing as well. It'll be really intriguing to see what that
actually is when it comes out. Yeah, it's going to kind of wrap up this kind of conversation. So I was saying my main concern last week was whether the digital events would work. Nintendo proved it can work, and obviously the State of Play is well watched. And Xbox events are normally pretty well watched, so the companies do have success with their own events, but with Nintendo showing how easy it is to do a showcase, or like you can literally put, okay, it's difficult in terms of getting all the trailers done, and like especially with the COVID situation, having people having the time to put the trailers together and all the editing and work it would take. So I know it's not necessarily easy to get a direct put together, but given the success you can get from having a direct style presentation, kind of does really kind of for me negate the need to have digital E3. One of the greatest things about Nintendo, especially over E3 time, is their Nintendo Treehouse. Literally, it'll be like an 8-hour stream where Nintendo's, what they call Nintendo's Treehouse employees, we'll sit there, they'll play different games, they'll talk to developers, they'll show off a lot of gameplay stuff for upcoming games. They do it really well, and I think this is what E3 would try to do. But especially Nintendo themselves, they don't need it. Yeah, you could have a host on an E3 thing doing it, but yeah, I don't think many companies will sign up for that kind of event, which is a shame, really. Yeah, so I think given how we can have success with Nintendo Direct style things, or like companies' own presentations, does make me worry about the future of E3. If, I don't know, the event's not happening this year, but if it doesn't come out next year, I think it is kind of looking like the E3 won't be a thing going forward. Which is a shame, because I do love the Gaming Expo environment. Like I said a few times, I've worked a few EGX events, and I've absolutely loved it. I thought it was really fun, really amazing. But yeah, it's just a shame that if it doesn't work out and companies realise it's a lot better to do things digitally, they may not be a thing going forward, which is a bit of a shame for the industry, I think. Yeah, let me know what your thoughts are about digital presentations. Okay, I may not be in support of like digital E3 and stuff like that, but in terms of digital events by companies themselves, I think if they're done right, they can be really good. You can get a lot of excitement out of people, a lot of hype out of people, and they can work really well to have good feedback and a good effect on people's opinions on games. So yeah, I'm all for companies like Nintendo doing their own events. I just don't think they need the kind of digital events that we were talking about last week, or last episode, sorry. But yeah, kind of wraps up my kind of ramblings on my thoughts on presentations. I know it's not necessarily the most exciting topics I've covered. I'm looking into more kind of stuff to do, whether it's more soundtrack kind of things or things like that, because I do want to try and get back on the soundtracks, but obviously it is getting difficult with more game companies getting tighter on their kind of copyright stuff in places. But yeah, I'm going to talk about games I've been playing recently. I have spent some time playing Persona 5 Strikers. Only about an hour into it, so I'm really enjoying it, getting stuck into it, and getting reacquainted with the characters from Persona 5. It's a lot of fun. Great thing about Persona, you're guaranteed like a pretty awesome soundtrack. Yeah, so if you've not checked that out, please do. I've got my gameplay video of that as well. Did like literally my first hour of gameplay. I did record that and put that on YouTube. Lots of Animal Crossing and Tetris 99 and Mario 35 been taking up my time. Played a bit of Cross Code on the Series X. Bit of a weird RPG kind of game. But yeah, I want to try and get stuck into some more games on the Series X and the Switch pretty much. Played a little bit of Age of Calamity as well. Yeah, so I played some Age of Calamity and got stuck into that, which was really cool. So yeah, got lots of stuff going on in terms of gaming. Please do let me know what you want to hear me discuss more. Is there any games you want to see me kind of play on my YouTube channel? Is there any kind of topics you want me to cover? Please do DM me or tweet me. I'll be happy to take suggestions. Talk about contacting me, my Twitter is at ChrisLewis37. You can find me on there. And I do share all my YouTube videos onto my Twitter. So to find my YouTube channel, best thing to do is go onto my Twitter and follow the link to my other videos and then click that subscribe button. My YouTube channel is Chris React to All One Words with OR at the end. So please do have a look into it and let me know what you want to see and what you want to play. So, don't forget next week, you've got Matt and Alex, the Game Donkeys podcast back. There's always some crazy stuff going on with those guys. Some pretty interesting conversations as well. So they've recently done their highlights of 2020, looking back across the year. Actually their first 50 shows. They've hit 50 shows, so they've had a bit of a look back on their last 50 shows, and they mentioned how they gave me the podcasting bug and got me involved into podcasting. So they're taking credit for my first podcasting role and giving me the bug and setting me up for my own shows. So please make sure you do check them out, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks once I work out exactly what I'm doing for my next show. So please tune in, and if you are still listening, thank you for listening all the way through. I know it is a bit of a ramble sometimes. So thank you for listening. Very much appreciated. Until next time, stay safe and speak to you soon. Bye.
This podcast is a Mass Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.